Well, we know from the scripture there's nowhere else to go except to the Lord. Where could I go? You can make that a question or a very emphatic statement that there's nowhere else to go except to the Lord in times of difficulty, times of troubles and trials that come our way. I'm glad we have the Lord that we can depend upon, and He has promised to be there to help us, and He's also promised to deliver us. And tonight I want to sort of think a few minutes upon that subject of deliverance. And we'll be reading in the Old Testament, and then we'll take a New Testament personality that shows the deliverance of the Lord. Turn, if you would, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 15. I want to read a couple of verses here. And when Jeremiah began his prophecy and began his ministry, I guess we would call it, he began immediately to pour out judgments upon the nation of Israel because of their lack of willingness to serve the Lord. And he begins to give them messages. And if you look back, and if you have a reference Bible or a subject Bible, you'll find that every chapter has something to say about some type of judgment. If it's not something different, it's a continuation of the message that Jeremiah gives to the people of Israel. And we have some of them 2 and 3 chapters long. And really the second message is about 4 chapters. He gives a message concerning the house of the Lord, the gates of the temple, the different areas of the actions of the Lord against their rebellion against Him. But when you come to chapter 14 of Jeremiah, you find that he is giving a message concerning the drought or the dearth that has come in the land, which was very, very serious. And it continues on into chapter 15. And these verses, we find that the Lord is bringing about a continual judgment upon His people because of their rebellion against Him. But He did deliver them. He did help them in that time of trouble. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse number 3, it says, "I will appoint over them 4 kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to tear, the fowls of the heaven, and the beast of the earth to devour and to destroy." So God says He's going to send 4 different types of judgment upon the people of Israel. But when you come to the end of chapter number 15, verse number 20, the Lord begins to deal with this subject of deliverance. He says in verse number 20, "I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible." Now the Lord is saying that directly to Jeremiah. He said, "I'm going to deliver you." Jeremiah was a very hated prophet of his day. And when you read the book of Jeremiah, you can understand why the wicked would hate him, because every time he uttered the word of the Lord, it was a judgment upon their wickedness. And so they despised the messenger that had the message. A lot of times we say, don't kill the messenger, we just have the message. But sometimes those that deliver messages are those that get the brunt of the turmoil and the hatred that comes. But the Lord tells Jeremiah, and later on He will tell Israel, that He would help them. He says, but to Jeremiah, He says, "I will make thee unto thee a fenced brazen wall." And He said, "I'll against those that shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, and I will be with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord." I will deliver. I'm glad tonight that we have a delivering Lord. He's the one that will help us in every problem that comes our way, even though some of those problems are self-inflicted and self-caused. The Lord does help us, and He has given us many examples and many illustrations of the Lord delivering. He delivers from some things, and the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that the Lord delivered Paul. He tells us that He delivered him from every evil temptation, and in Corinthians, Paul was delivered from death, and in Colossians, he was delivered from the condemnation of mankind. And so we are delivered from some things. I'm glad tonight we've been delivered from hell. We've been delivered from that awful place that is a real place. I was listening this morning to to Fox News, and Franklin Graham was being interviewed by some of the reporters there, and somehow the subject came up that a few years back the Pope said there was no hell. And they asked Franklin what he thought about that. And he said, well, Jesus taught on hell, and He preached on hell. He said, so therefore, hell is real. And He gave two different times, He gave a very clear presentation of the gospel. And I'm so glad that there are people that are able to do that, where many multitudes hear them. And every time I've heard Franklin be in any kind of interview, he always gives the gospel, always gives the message of salvation. And it doesn't matter if it's an individual that's wicked, whether it be someone, Bill O'Reilly, he told him very plainly, some others that he has been with, always gives the gospel, and thank God for that. And so there is a hell, but we have been delivered from that, thank God. We've been delivered from the very power of the wicked one, and He no longer has power over us to destroy and to tear down. And one of these days we'll be delivered from His very presence, for He'll be cast in the lake of fire forever and forever. So we've been delivered from some things. We've been delivered through. And we're delivered through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have Him as our refuge. You think of Noah. He was delivered through the flood. Moses was delivered through the Red Sea and the wilderness. The Hebrew children and Daniel, they were delivered through the fiery furnace, and Daniel delivered from the mouth of the lions. And so we have much deliverance, and we have much to be thankful for. And then also one of these days we'll be delivered into heaven. And so tonight I want us to look over into the New Testament. And we'll look at an individual that was delivered what the world might not think would be a very good deliverance. But he was delivered just like what we have dealt with. He was delivered from some things. He was delivered through and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was delivered into heaven. So if you would turn over to the book of Acts, chapter number 6. This is the story of the first deacons of the church, and message is given to us that Stephen is one of those men. And in Acts chapter number 6, verse number 5, not only was he a part of that first group of deacons, he is that first martyr, first one that will be killed because of his ministry and the address of the persecution and his speech to the council that was against him. And then we'll find his deliverance tonight. Now, Stephen's not one of the 12 apostles. He's one of the first seven deacons. And his name even means martyr or a witness, one who testifies in life and in death. And so Stephen had a perfect name for his life. He was a martyr. He went through the portals of glory at the hands of wicked men, but yet he was taken by the Lord and greeted by the Lord. He sees the Lord standing and there to greet him into heaven. So in Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 5, it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip," and he gives the rest of the names there of those deacons, or those helpers there to the to the apostles. And these men that were given here were men that were full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And so tonight we find that Stephen was maybe a little bit extraordinary than some of the folks. And I have to remember the church, by the time you get to Acts chapter number 5, has a multitude of people. They've had thousands of people come to know the Lord, been saved, baptized, and the church is growing, and they didn't have a cathedral, they didn't have a building, they didn't have what we would consider as a church, but they, as a group of people, they were a church that were associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the apostles determined, I believe under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that they had too much to do. They had had more than they could handle. And so they chose out men that were faithful to the Lord and men that were obedient to the call of Christ, and they set them aside, and it says in verse number 2 of that same chapter, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now that just simply meant not reasonable for them to not study and not take the word of God and not do what they, as spiritual leaders as they should do, and do the everyday things of taking care of the people of their day. And of course, they had many widows and had orphans and had people that had to be dealt with. And the apostle says, it's not reasonable that we do that. We don't need to leave the word of God. And so they looked out among them seven men, verse number 3, of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And so we find here that Stephen is listed in verse number 5 as one of those men that had the qualification of being honest. He had the qualification of being full of the Holy Ghost, had wisdom, and he had those things in his personal walk with the Lord that set him out as a spokesman and as a leader in the position of being a deacon. The Bible says in verse 6, as whom they set before the apostles, when they had prayed, laid their hands on them, the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So Stephen now here is pictured and pulled out from this group as a man that had some divine wisdom, had some wisdom that only comes from God. Now, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge. That's the accumulation of facts in our minds. It's just a continual accumulation of things that we know are right and true, and we have wisdom in having those things. But wisdom is taking that knowledge and putting it to practical use and to be served by the Lord. And so we find that Stephen, here that was chosen of one of these seven, he had wisdom, and he was prompted by the Holy Spirit. He listened to the Spirit of God, verse number 10 of chapter 6, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. So here there's a rising up against the apostles. There's a rising up against the cause of Christ. And verse 9 said that in the synagogue there were Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians and of Asia, and they began to dispute with Stephen. They began to argue with him concerning the message that he was giving and the message of salvation and just the message of a child of God. And there in the synagogue, those men rose up against Stephen. But the Bible says they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. And so wisdom of God and the Spirit of God working together made those men's accusations against Stephen null and void. And so Stephen was a man that had great wisdom in his life. The Bible talks much about wisdom. If a man wants wisdom, let him ask of God. You don't learn wisdom. You don't accumulate wisdom just because of facts. But wisdom in spiritual things is a gift of the Lord that we can follow His cause and His call and His direction, that we could make certain decisions in our life that would be pleasing to the Lord and helpful to us. Now, sometimes we make decisions that's not pleasing to the Lord and it does not help us. But if we have the wisdom of the Scriptures, the wisdom of the Lord, that helps us to be able to know which way to turn, which direction to go. I've always tried to say a person should not make a serious decision when they're emotionally high or emotionally low, because those things, we are emotional people. But we need to look squarely at the things of the Lord and make the decision that God would have us to make, and not on emotion, but upon the Scripture, upon what God gives to us in our heart that He satisfies us with. So here we find that Stephen, he's active in the church. He's busy in the church. He's called out from among that group of multitudes of people as a man that had great wisdom, man had that was honest, had a good report, full of the Holy Ghost. They bring him out, and he begins to continue on and begins to speak in the synagogue, and all he is doing is what I believe every Christian ought to do, and that's be a witness for Christ, to be a witness for that one that had gone to Calvary and suffered and died for him. And so he was a man, according to the Scripture here, that that had great wisdom, had divine wisdom come from the Lord. All of our wisdom comes from God. Knowledge may come from a book. Knowledge of how to do certain things and how to work out difficulties, even knowledge of the Word of God. But the wisdom how to put that into effect, to make it usable in our life, is a great blessing and a great gift that comes from the Lord. So Stephen, the Bible says here, they argued against him, but they could not stand against him because of what? His wisdom. Because of what he had in his knowledge and his wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. Now, if you look at verse number 10, that word Spirit is not capitalized. And so I don't think it's necessarily meaning by the Holy Spirit that he spake, but by the Spirit of his own life, by his actions and his demeanor and the way he handled and dealt with problems and dealt with people. And so they couldn't argue with his wisdom. They couldn't argue with his Spirit. He was not argumentative. He was just giving out the facts of the Lord that God had given him, and they couldn't stand against it. They couldn't fight against it because he had that wonderful divine wisdom that God had given unto him. Not only that, but I believe he was a man of great courage. We'll read on here in the Scriptures as not only these few that stood against him, but now the whole group of the council is against him. And they bring him before the Sanhedrin council. And you'll find that he had no compromise in his life. You'll find that he was not bending to the opposition that was given to him. And he begins to give them a message. In chapter 7, it has progressed on now into another chapter in our Bible. But verse number 39 through 53, and we'll not read all of these verses, but this is part of the message that Stephen preached unto the council. And I dare say they couldn't stand against his wisdom or his Spirit either. Verse number 22 says, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and the mighty words and deeds. So he goes all the way back to Moses. And those Jewish counselors and that Sanhedrin, they knew exactly the story of Moses. They knew what had happened and what God had done for them. And so he takes them back in their history And he tells of Moses in Egypt. He tells of Moses in the wilderness. And in verse number 39, it says, to whom our fathers would not obey. To whom our fathers would not obey, talking about Moses and the Lord, would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wrought not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have you offered to me a slain beast and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God, Rephtham, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. So Stephen is standing before the council. He gives them a good history lesson of what happened. And he said, God gave Moses direction, and they rejected Moses. And they said, we had rather have the cucumbers and the leeks, and we'd rather have the good things of Egypt. Well, just a few days before that, the good things of Egypt were terrible unto them. They were crying out to the Lord for deliverance. God delivers them, and now they're in the wilderness, and they're having some difficulties and trials, like we all do. And they began to look back toward Egypt. They began to desire the things of Egypt. And they made themselves gods. And while Moses was getting the commandments, they have Aaron. And we could read the story back in Genesis. They have Aaron to bring all the gold from the people. And they, according to Aaron's story, they threw the gold in and out jumped this calf. It just came out. No, it was a graven image, deliberately against God, against the word of the Lord. And when Moses comes down, he says, what have you done? And so he says, not only did they do that, they went a little farther, and they had the tabernacle of Moloch. If you look up, Moloch is a god of the heathen, and many of the times, Moloch was the god in whom the heathen would offer their children as sacrifices to appease the god. And so that's how far Israel had gone from the Lord. And so he is continually giving them this message. He says in verse number 44, he says, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking to Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. And it goes on down, says, but they rejected it. God gave them the temple of Solomon. Howbeit, in verse 48, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool, what house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or where's the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Now, Stephen directs his statement to the council. Ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. What cutting words from a man that is standing before a council that has opportunity and has the ability to take his life. And so we find that he had great courage. He said, just as the Jews did in the wilderness in Egypt, as they came into the Solomon's temple, and as they've gone all the way through their history, they've always resisted the Holy Ghost. They've always turned their back upon God. And then he points to them. He gives the direction to them. He says, and so do you. And so he tells us here in verse number 51, they're stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Now you talk about cutting words. Those words really brought about the death sentence upon Stephen because of what he said. And so he gives them the message, and they reject the message. Verse number 54 of this same chapter, chapter number 7. When they heard these things, they were listening. When they heard the message of this wise, spirited, controlled man, the Bible says here, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now that does not mean they talked against him. It means exactly what it says. Can you imagine a group of supposedly religious leaders being so infuriated by the words of a man of God that they literally would gnaw at him and try to destroy him? Verse number 55 says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, they stopped their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was who? Saul. Saul, who later on became Paul. I don't believe Paul ever got over what he heard. I don't believe Paul ever dismissed the actions that day. And when it says here they lay down their clothes at a young man's feet, that meant he gave them the right, that he gave his voice also to destroy this man, Stephen. Stephen was a man of great convictions. He stood upon the principles of the Word of God. He stood upon the message that he had learned and had heard, and the preaching of the gospel that brought him to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's brought now to the point of being placed in a position of being a leader in the church. And now he stands and they are against him. He's willing to die rather than to compromise. He's willing to give up his life rather than to go back upon the things that the Lord had taught him. We have read stories, and I've heard stories, and we've read accounts of people that have been totally sold out to the Lord, and rather than to change their mind, rather than to compromise, they would rather die. That's somebody that's full of wisdom. That's someone that has the right spirit about them. That's someone that has the power of the Holy Ghost upon them. And so Stephen was a man of great convictions, and he's a man of great power. Power of God upon him. The Bible says he's full of the Holy Ghost. Because of this, judgment came upon him, and he was taken by these angry men, this mob, cast out of the city, and he was stoned, and he was stoned to death. In verse number 59, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." You know what's happening in this place? It says he kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, almost the same words as Jesus cried on the cross, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Man of great courage and great power. The judgment was upon him. But you know what? The Lord delivered him. Sometimes deliverance is not what we think it is. Sometimes our deliverance is not what we hope it would be. But I would say Stephen had pretty good homecoming. I would say Stephen had a pretty good time meeting Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the Lord is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What's he doing? He's making intercession for you and I. Jesus Christ at the right hand of God pleads our case. He's our defense attorney, really. He's our advocate. We have an adversary. He's the devil. But thank God we have an advocate. We have a mediator between God and man. It's the man, Christ Jesus. And so Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But as Stephen is undergoing the persecution, undergoing the process of dying, Stephen looks up into heaven and he sees the Son of Man. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is standing, and I believe he's standing there to greet this man Stephen, this deacon, this first martyr of the local church, welcome him home. I would say Stephen had a pretty good deliverance, had a pretty good homegoing, that he was met by his wonderful Savior. It's a picture of a real Christian, a picture of one that really served God. He had great faith in the Lord. His faith was sufficient in his life, but more than that, his faith was sufficient in his trial. And then lastly, his faith was sufficient in his death. And as he takes that last breath, as he lays down his life, the Bible says, uses the words, he fell asleep. He didn't fall asleep, he died. And he was ushered into the very presence of his Father by the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say Stephen was delivered. I'd say Stephen had a great deliverance unto the Lord. And can you imagine when Stephen stood before God, the Lord would say to him, "Well done, thou good, faithful servant." Stephen's a wonderful character in the New Testament to study. His life didn't last long. It's cut short by wickedness and cut short by ungodliness. But the testimony that he leaves for us in the Word of God tells us that we can live for the Lord, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of troubles, even in facing of death, that we can stand and we can, without compromise, say that we know who has saved us, who has delivered us, and if he doesn't deliver us out of this, then he's going to deliver us into heaven. We'll either be delivered from, or we'll be delivered to a place called heaven. Thank God we have a home, we have a hope, and what a joy it is tonight to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Stephen, I love to study characters of the Bible, different people, and Stephen stands out as one of those that is just as prevalent as and fresh. Every time you read it, it encourages you to be like Stephen, to stand. Not compromise, not give up, just to stand. Let's do that tonight, and we'll be dismissed in prayer.